And we're going to spend a few minutes thinking about what it says to us. I remember as a university student being asked by a friend, what does it mean to be a Christian? And to my shame, I kind of stumbled and struggled to really give a clear answer to that question. My answer to that question now would be that being a Christian is really about living in relationship with God. It's all about relationship. It's all about relationship with God. But what is the nature of that relationship? Well, the Bible uses a number of different images, a number of different ways of describing the relationship that we can have with God. And Psalm 23 describes it like this: the Lord is my shepherd. That's the nature of the relationship. That's one way of thinking about it. God is our shepherd. That image of shepherd is used at a number of points through the Bible. Jesus famously described himself as the good shepherd. But what does it mean? Well, what does it mean to say that God is our shepherd? I think it means, in summary, that God is the one who takes care of us. God is the one who takes care of us. Psalm 23 describes the life of the person who knows that the Lord God is looking out for them, taking care of their needs, keeping them safe. Over the last month or so at Barney's, on Sundays, we've been thinking about the topic of anxiety. And this psalm, Psalm 23, I think speaks powerfully to that topic. You know, life is full of challenges and pressures and worries. Australians love to say that there's no worries, but the truth is there are lots of worries, aren't there? You know, life in Adelaide in the 21st century is full of challenges and worries. How can we go through life and face all that it throws at us without being overcome with anxiety? Well, the answer Psalm 23 gives is by knowing that we have a shepherd who knows us and cares for us, and come what may, will keep us safe. So we're going to explore this psalm under three headings. Firstly, the need for a shepherd. Then the experience of knowing God as your shepherd. And finally, the proof of God's shepherding care. So the need for a shepherd, the experience of knowing God as your shepherd, and the proof of God's shepherding care. The need for a shepherd. Psalm 23, in a sense, asks this question of us. It asks, who is your shepherd? Who is it that you are looking to take care of you? Who are you trusting in to keep you safe? It might be another person, or it might be a thing. It might be something like money. You know, that's a kind of strange way of thinking, isn't it? That money could be your shepherd. But you could look to money for your safety, for your security in life. Or it might be that you say, I don't need anyone to look out for me. I can take care of myself. Thank you very much. Psalm 23 was written by King David, the greatest king in Israel's history. This is the David who fought and defeated the giant Goliath and became a great military leader and a powerful king. If anyone could claim to be able to take care of themselves, it was David. But he says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's God, it's the Lord who takes care of me. I'm not trusting in myself, I'm trusting in him. Now, David knew about shepherding. As a boy, he had been a shepherd, and as a king, his job was, in a sense, to shepherd the people of Israel, to rule over them and to take care of the people in his kingdom. But David is saying in Psalm 23, you know, I may have the job of looking after others, but before I'm a shepherd to others, I'm a sheep. I need someone to take care of me. We all need someone to take care of us. We all need a shepherd. And the question is, who is up to the task? Who can we really trust to take care of us, to meet our needs and keep us safe? Who is a shepherd who will never let us down? Kate, in her prayers, mentioned the Alpha course that we're running at the moment. It's a course for people who want to explore some of the big questions of life. And I want to show you a short clip from one of the videos on that course, which addresses this need for a shepherd.
I think for so many years, you know, I always just strive to be strong in myself. And it was as if that all I needed was me and my buddies and, you know, we'd be like invincible. But the truth is, none of us are. And I don't want to do this thing called life. I don't want to do it on my own. And it kind of feels like my longing for this light inside is now stronger than my fear of what others might think. And people often ask, well, doesn't that make faith like a crutch? And, you know, well, maybe, but, you know, what does a crutch do? A crutch helps you stand, and it makes you stronger. And in that case, you know, sure, I need a bit of that. But especially when it's so much more than that, when this faith inside is also like a backbone, helping me stand tall and helping me be strong when I'm really up against it, facing those odds, whether it's on a mountain or stuck in some jungle or just dealing with the storms, you know, with the storms of life. Sure, I need it. I need that.
Great. Bear Grylls. He talks about needing a crutch, and a crutch is something that strengthens us and helps us, and he reckons he needs something. It's similar, isn't it? We need a shepherd to take care of us. The Bible says we were made to have a shepherd. We were made to enjoy God's shepherding care. And that's our second point. Our second point is the experience of knowing God as your shepherd. Psalm 23, as I said, describes the life of the person who has made God their shepherd, who's trusting the Lord to take care of them. So what does that life look like? Let me give you three words to summarize. Contentment, calmness, and confidence. Contentment. Verse 1 of the psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." David is saying, when the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. I can rest in his care and provision. I don't need to worry about my needs. I can experience true contentment. The Lord knows me and he cares for me, and I can trust him to provide. It's a beautiful image the psalm gives us, isn't it? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. See, when you enter into a relationship with God, he promises that he will provide everything that you need. Not everything you want, and not necessarily everything you think you need, but you can trust him as your shepherd to provide everything you truly need. Contentment. Secondly, calmness. David says, verse 4, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me." David's talking here about the shepherd's rod and staff with which he might ward off wild animals and keep the sheep safe. David's saying, when the Lord's your shepherd, you don't need to be afraid. Whatever you may face, whatever threats may come your way, you can face those things with an inner peace and a calmness because your God has promised to look after you. He hasn't promised to remove all troubles from your life, but he has promised that he'll be with you in those troubles and that he'll keep you safe. There's a poem I read a few weeks ago that I think speaks into this. I won't read it all now, just a few lines. It's called Safe. "I am safe, not because I have no trouble or because I never experienced danger. I'm safe not because of money or power, or who I know, or where I live. I am safe because you have given me the one thing that is the only thing that will ever keep me safe. You have given me you. So I'll wake up tomorrow and I'll face the anxiety of not knowing, the fear of my own weakness and the reality of the fall. I'll live with faith, courage, and hope. And when danger comes, and it will, I'll whisper to my weakening heart, 'Emmanuel is your shepherd. You are safe.'" So contentment, calmness. Thirdly, confidence. At the end of the psalm, the final verse, David says, "Surely." That's a word of confidence, isn't it? "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. At a Bible college in London, I studied Hebrew for 3 years, the language that the Old Testament's written in. And sadly, I don't remember much at all, but I remember this verse, Psalm 23, verse 6. In Hebrew, it says, Ach tov v'chesed yedafuni kol yemei chayai. I taught that to Moya, our daughter, when she was about 2 or 3. It was really sweet. And she loved saying one of those words, yedafuni. Yedafuni. And it's the word that's translated, will follow me. But literally it means will pursue me. You see, as David looks at his life and considers his future, he has this confidence that every day of his life, whatever he faces, God's goodness and God's faithful love will be pursuing him. And you know, he's not worried about enemies bearing down on him. He's confident. He has this assurance that he cannot escape the goodness of God, that nothing he faces can separate him from God's love, not even death. He will live in God's house, in God's presence forever. This is the confidence that we can have when we make the Lord our shepherd, when we entrust our lives to him, because we know that he is committed to our good, that he's promised, and he's a God who cannot break his promises, that he has promised that in everything we face, he'll be with us, providing for our needs and working for our good. We can know that we are not alone in this universe. We're not alone in the struggles that we face. This is what we want for Katie. This is what we pray for her, that she'll know she's safe and loved and wanted and important, and she'll know those things because she has a shepherd who cares. And I want to say at this point, to those of you who may not believe in God, who might think this is all, you know, make-believe spiritual nonsense, I want to say, you might not think this is true, but don't you want it to be true? You know, don't you want there to be a God who cares for you? A God who's able to look after you? A God who will never let you down? Don't you like the thought of being able to live your life with real contentment, real inner calmness, real confidence for the future? Because that's the life that is offered. That's the experience of knowing God as your shepherd. Now, of course, wanting something to be true doesn't make it true, but it might at least mean you're willing to investigate whether it's true. So we've thought about the need for a shepherd and the experience of knowing God as your shepherd. Finally, the proof of God's shepherding care. You know, if you're going to entrust your life to someone, you need some proof, some kind of reason to trust them. And so what is the proof of God's shepherding care? How do we know that Psalm 23 isn't just a nice sounding poem? How do we know that it's real? I mean, how do we know that God's even there? And how do we know that he cares? Well, in just over a month, it's coming up quick, and we're going to celebrate Christmas. Kids are excited. Parents are nervous. We know that God is there, and we know that he cares because of Jesus. You see, at Christmas, God said to the world, I'm here and I care. You can know those things. Because you see, Christianity isn't just based on some spiritual teachings that have been passed down through the generations. Christianity is based on historical events, the events of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. In Jesus, the Creator God has stepped onto the stage of human history, so that we can know he's there, and so that we can know he cares. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I've come that you may have life, and life in all its fullness, life knowing and enjoying the shepherding care of God. And he says this, and this is the proof, this is what proves that God cares. Jesus says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now that might be a familiar phrase to many of you, but just think about it for a moment. how strange it is. I mean, I've never met a shepherd. Don't know much about shepherding firsthand, but I can't imagine that there are many shepherds who would be willing to give up their lives to care for sheep. But Jesus says, I am your shepherd, if you'll have me. And I am so committed to your good. I care for you so much that I lay down my life for your welfare. Jesus is saying, if you want to know that I care, look at my death. You might say, what? You know, how is Jesus' death any kind of proof that he cares? I mean, how does Jesus' death 2,000 years ago benefit me today in any way? And that is a good question, and I've only got time for a brief answer. The Bible says, we've been reminded this morning, but I think if we're honest, we know it's true that there's something wrong with us. We're not the people we're supposed to be. And the Bible's very specific. It kind of puts its finger on the problem and says, what's wrong with us is that we live in God's world and we use his stuff, but we ignore him. We don't thank him as we should. We don't love him as we should. Many of us live our lives with little, if any, reference to him. We're like sheep who have wandered away from our shepherd and got ourselves in all kinds of trouble. And there's a verse later in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. It's written about 700 years BC, and it says this: all of us are like sheep. We have wandered away from God. All of us have turned to our own way. You could picture it like this. Imagine this hand represents you and me. And imagine this book contains a record of all the ways in which we've wandered away from God and ignored him and disobeyed his commands. That's what the Bible calls sin. And you can see that our sins create a barrier between us and God. We can't enjoy the relationship with God that we were made for. We all like sheep, and we've all wandered away from God. But the verse goes on. It says this. Up on the screen soon. It says, and the Lord has placed on his servant the sins of all of us. It's written 700 years before Jesus, but it's speaking about Jesus. Jesus is the servant who has taken your sins and mine. See, imagine this hand represents Jesus. He's the only person who never wandered off, never ignored God, never disobeyed his commands, lived a perfect, sinless life. But the verse tells us that the Lord placed on his servant the sins of all of us. When Jesus died on the cross, he took your sins and my sins, and he died the death that we deserve to die so we can be forgiven. See, if Jesus has taken our sins, where does it leave us? Leaves us free, able now to enjoy the relationship with God that we were created for. So we're sheep who don't just need a shepherd to care for us, we're sheep who need a shepherd to rescue us. And Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life to rescue us. That is the proof of his shepherding care. That's how far he was willing to go for you and me. He's the good shepherd who loves you and laid down his life for you. And so, we can trust him. Can you see that? He's met our greatest need for forgiveness, and he's met it at the greatest cost. He laid down his life. If he's done that for us, then we can trust him in the everyday struggles that we face, can't we? Whatever worries you're currently dealing with, you can know that you are not alone in them. You can know that you have a shepherd who cares for you. You can know that because he laid down his life for you. Jesus is the best shepherd in the world. He is a shepherd who will never let you down. But you do need to trust him. You need to trust him. And when you do, you can rest. You can rest because you're safe in his shepherding care. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the good shepherd, the best shepherd we could ever dream of. That you're the shepherd who loves us and cares for us so much. You were willing to die for us on the cross. Please, I pray, would you help each one of us to trust you, to come to you and entrust our lives to you and enjoy knowing your shepherding care. Enjoy knowing that we don't have to go through this thing called life alone, that we have a shepherd who will be with us every step of the way, who will provide for all our needs, who will keep us safe through every danger and bring us finally to home in glory. Thank you. We love you. We praise you. Amen.